From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Working in downtown, it's easy to think of Eugene as a bustling city with lots of concrete, asphalt, and metal. But of course, when you pull the lens out, you see that we're in many ways an urban forest with lots and lots of trees, bushes, and grasslands. It's one of the many reasons why people love this community. But our environment also presents a true fire hazard during the hot summer months, and that reality is only getting worse with climate change. In the final part of our series about firefighting in our region, you'll hear from the leadership of the Eugene Springfield Fire Department. In many ways, the job of city firefighter is getting more and more challenging, with more and more heat-induced emergencies, and like many other industries and organizations, they're having to do more with less people. You could say that fire doesn't discriminate. It loves dry grasslands and forest, but it also loves structures and buildings. For the Eugene Springfield Fire Department, they have to fight this equal opportunity villain on all fronts. Mike Caven, who's the fire chief for the Eugene Springfield Fire Department, as well as Deputy Fire Marshal Althea Sullivan, thanks to you both for coming in and chatting with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So Chief Caven, I'm wondering, you know, talk about sort of the fire threats for an urban environment like Eugene Springfield, especially during the hotter months of summer.
Of course. The threat from wildfire is a unique challenge. It's growing in Oregon over the last several years. We've seen that play out. And a lot of people can let their guard down in an urban environment feeling, you know, I live in a city, I'm not in the wildland space, but the reality for us is our area is surrounded by dense forest environment. We have wonderful trails and parks to experience, but all of those create a threat from wildfire. And the fact of the matter is that the risk of urban conflagration in hot, dry times is as significant as anything else. And we just look back to the Alameda fire in Southern Oregon in 2020, and that was an urban conflagration that started on a bike path down by Ashland and spread and destroyed big parts of Talent and Phoenix, Oregon. That wasn't a brush fire. That wasn't a forest fire. That was an urban fire.
Yeah. And Fire Marshal Sullivan, I'm wondering too, you know, are there areas of particular concern in Eugene Springfield for just what Chief Caven talked about?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I think about the possibility of wildfire in our community, I'm thinking about a few different factors. One is areas where we have light, flashy fuels, so where we have grass fields, and then also areas in our community where we have slopes uphill of those light, flashy fuels. So where we have grass and then move into the hills with homes there, those are definitely areas that we have some concern there. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
It's anywhere there's vegetation.
Sure.
Especially in the city environment like we have, people love things like juniper, arborvitaes, where they put them between the houses in the hot, dry environment. Those things burn like torches.
Yeah.
And often cause one or more house fires at the same time.
I'm wondering too, you know, I think one of the things that I think a lot of us have learned over the years about wildfires is speed and how quickly they can move. And I'm wondering too, you know, and Chief, this is for you to kind of talk about is, you know, when a wildfire starts out in the wilderness, and I know it can move very fast, but there might be a certain amount of time to stage and be able to assess what's happening. But in an urban environment, like one of these grassy fields that Althea just talked about, you're probably talking just a matter of minutes before a structure or somebody's home could go up in flames, isn't it?
Correct. I mean, in the urban environment, it could be a house fire, it could be a car fire, it could be a tent fire, it could be any number of things that initiates that original fire event. But the speed at which it spreads from houses to nearby vegetation to trees, and the big challenge, especially when it's hot and dry, is that convection column coming off of whatever's burning, whether it's shrubbery or a house. And pieces of that home, roof materials, branches, pine cones, rhododendron leaves, they go up into that convection column, and then they do what's called fallout, and that's what creates spot fires. And so we could be directly engaged in the fire in front of us, and if we don't have that extra situational awareness looking back at what's coming off of it and where is it going, the Swanson Mill fire, great example of, we had a significant wildfire event during that. Most didn't see, they didn't see the response to it over that butte, but we had a number of spot fires that came from that. And that's a very real risk in our neighborhoods and in our wildfire environment.
Yeah. Fire Marshal Sullivan, I'm wondering too, you know, it wasn't that long ago where we suffered the ice storm, where so many limbs and other things sort of fell down. And I know a lot of people and a lot of the city and different, you know, organizations clean that up. But I imagine there's probably a lot of downed fuel from that event. Does that create some additional concern this summer for you all?
You know, it certainly does. This is a really good time of year for homeowners to take a look around their properties. It's a good time of year to think about mowing your grass. If you still have any of those woody debris on your property, to have those hauled off in your yard waste disposal or taken somewhere to get those off of your property. That's one of the best things you can do for kind of protecting your home and the defensible space around it.
Yeah, yeah. Let me quickly reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking with the fire chief, Mike Caven from Eugene Springfield Fire, as well as Deputy Fire Marshal Althea Sullivan. Chief, I'm also wondering too, and maybe now would be a good time, you know, talk about some of the do's and don'ts for homeowners, for property owners, you know, especially in the summertime. You know, Althea just talked about some of the things about clearing out, but I'm also wondering too, you know, this idea of making your property more fire resistant. What are there some general tips that people should take away from that are listening to us now?
Number one, there's a tremendous number of resources that are out there as far as guidance for how to make your home fire safe. And it has a lot to do with the types of vegetation that are around your home and on your property. It's keeping large flammable objects, your piles of wood, your projects, anything that can attract embers, errant embers that are kind of rolling by, and allow that fire to spread. Making sure that leaves are cleaned up from under decks, that they're screened, that your attic vents are appropriately screened, that your house is well maintained, your vegetation surrounding your home, your grass, all of that is adequately watered, so that in the event that there's a significant fire nearby, whether it's your neighbor's home or you live on the outskirts of town and it's a wildfire approaching, that fire doesn't have an opportunity to get a hold on or next to your home that exposes your home to that wildfire. And again, I remind people there's a tremendous amount of resources online about defensible space. That is the key phrase to search and understand how to get defensible space around your home.
Fire Marshal Sullivan, I'm wondering too, you know, and maybe this is too general a question, but just wondering, you know, is there a sweet spot in terms of kind of the distance between your house and something that can catch fire? Is there kind of like a magic number that people should at least aspire to?
There absolutely is. So for most property owners, focusing on the first 5 feet from your home is where to put your effort initially. Once you have that first 5 feet around your home cleared of combustible materials or dead vegetation would be the other thing to remove there. Working out into the 5 to 30 feet or up to 100 feet or your property line. You also asked about a few do's and don'ts.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I would just add on that, as well as you're thinking about creating defensible space on your property, being mindful of things like red flag warnings or really dry days and what time you're choosing to do things like mow. Do those activities early in the morning where a spark from your mower and your best intentions can't be the thing that results in a wildfire there. I would also add that note for grilling as well. It's a great time of year to grill, but pull those grills away from your homes and be careful with those, especially if we have those warm, dry days.
Yeah, yeah. What about, you know, I'm thinking to, obviously we're past the 4th of July, and obviously that can create some problems, but are there other sort of, maybe away from the home, but still within the city limits, recreational, you know, activities that people should be a little bit more cognizant of and maybe be more aware? I'm more, you know, whether it's a motor possibly starting a grass fire. Oftentimes we have events like the Country Fair just happened where a lot of people are parked on grass. I'm just wondering some of those other things that people should be at least more cognizant of.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It's being cognizant of your surroundings. Parking on dry grass is a risk from your hot catalytic converter, mm-hmm. your engine parts, your brakes. Those can cause significant fire issues. It's the utilization of ATVs off-road in those high-risk environments, because a lot of the trails and things like that that surround our area are in Eugene Springfield Fire's contract districts, are in that kind of oak savanna, light flashy fuels with ladder fuels into the wildland environment in the southern parts of the city, where an errant spark from that can easily become a wildfire. The number one cause of wildfire is humans, mm-hmm. And a lot of those are attributed to gas-powered machinery and other recreation or work activities out in those high-risk spaces during those high-risk times. For that, Oregon Department of Forestry actually has industrial restrictions that are, mm-hmm. are good to follow about when and how you utilize those, and they do have some jurisdiction in some of Eugene Springfield Fire's covered territories.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm also wondering too, and I'll address this to you, Fire Marshal Sullivan. You know, especially in the summertime when things can combust more easily and people are being, you know, are you seeing more sort of, I would say, risky behavior in these times?
I don't know that I have seen more risky behavior, Chief. I'll let you step in if you have more to add there. But I think this is the time of year where we can all just take a moment to remind ourselves that wildfire is a risk, even in our urban environment. Mm-hmm. And we all have a part to play in being really careful with how we use anything that could create a spark or potentially start a fire.
Yeah.
And I would say it is those things. It's the activities that people choose to do outside, whether it's welding or, you know, we get reports of stuff that people are doing, grinding on a car, and there's light, grassy, you know, fuels around, or arborvitas, those type of things that, you know, it's not intentional. It's not incredibly reckless. It's just a lack of awareness of what's at stake.
Chief Caven, I want to stay with you on this, because obviously, you know, this time of year, the kind of the cliche now is Oregon has five seasons, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter, and fire. A lot happens in the periphery, but also a lot happens here. Talk about how your organization cooperates with other departments, with other agencies, because I imagine there might be times when your team might be called out to help fight a fire somewhere outside of the jurisdiction. Or am I wrong? Does that sometimes happen?
You are absolutely right. Eugene Springfield Fire is a proud participant in the Oregon State Fire Marshal's emergency response plan. We have members who are out in Eastern Oregon on two separate fires right now. We very much in Lane County, all the fire agencies coordinate very well together, respond for our regional incidents, but we've had firefighters as far south as San Diego, California.
Oh my goodness, really? Okay.
You know, and so regional partnerships in the wildfire environment, there are not enough firefighters here locally nor in the state of Oregon for the new and emerging growing wildfire threat. And so our response networks, our enhanced mutual aid locally. We just had a fire in West Eugene mm-hmm. on Monday afternoon, not in our jurisdiction. We ultimately called off-duty resources and sent a heavy response when it moved into contract territories. But there was coordination between the State Fire Marshal's Office, Oregon Department of Forestry, our mutual aid partners. We had aircraft on scene. That's kind of the second year in the row that we've had that type of fire in our area that required a lot of coordination and support from multiple agencies. So we're testing those systems now more than ever before. And more importantly, in our new wildfire planning and fuels management program that Althea runs is all the coordination, support, and collaboration to help make our community more resilient from wildfire. And that's a whole nother set of partnerships that we've been fortunate to establish that program with the Community Safety Payroll Tax.
Althea, talk about that program then, because I haven't heard of it. So talk about what it does, what its goals are.
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that program. So it's wildfire planning and fuels management. Mm-hmm. The planning portion of that program is intended to get an understanding of what our risk is at the level of our cities. So not looking or relying on statewide maps or federal maps, but actually doing work on the ground to understand what our actual risk in specific parts of our community is, and to be able to think strategically about how we bring fuels management programs into those areas to start mitigating that risk. We are really fortunate in the Eugene-Springfield area to have a number of agencies that have been doing work in this area and that we are partnering with to kind of help support some of that work to expand the reach of that. Part of that is partnerships with fuels crew organizations in our area. Oregon Department of Forestry does work. Northwest Youth Corps does work. Mm-hmm. Our own parks departments do work as well to manage fuels on their property. From the fire department perspective, we're really working with them to think about where we're doing some of that work to set us up for success if we do have an incident where we're needing to make tactical decisions to make a stop on a wildfire that's emerging in that environment.
Interesting. Well, Chief Kamen, back to you. I'm thinking, you know, the program that Fire Marshal Sullivan just described and everything you do relies on people. And I've certainly heard from many different organizations, including the police and so on and so forth, this staffing is a challenge these days. Can you talk about how, you know, recruiting and retaining firefighters is going for your organization? And are there challenges there?
There are challenges. You know, our fire department and particularly people need to understand Eugene-Springfield Fire is still two city fire departments under one name, kind of two budgets, two everything. And so what I'm going to touch on is, in particular in the city of Eugene, we're really trying to educate the community as it stands right now. We haven't added firefighters in over 40 years.
Wow.
Yet the demand, and in particular this conversation, the demand from wildfire is significantly worse than it was before. The threats, the differing ignition causes within the city, I mean, it's a real challenge. And so our crews are stretched about as thin as they ever have been. Mm-hmm. It's often, especially given a hot summer day in the middle of the day, most all of our fire engines might be tied up on various calls throughout the city, so that when that wildfire comes in, is the closest fire company available? Maybe, maybe not. We've been very fortunate. Recruiting wise, we actually just changed the entry level requirements from making everybody be a paramedic to EMT basic, and we saw an exponential increase in recruits. And so we're really excited to be bringing on 20 more firefighters this fall. But it's been important for the community to know is we haven't added any firefighters to our daily staffing in a very long time. Springfield has added a couple stations in that 40-year period. So they've kind of kept up with growth in demand, but we are incredibly busy. We had over 100,000 unit responses last year alone.
Wow, wow. Well, Fire Marshal Sullivan, I'm wondering too, you know, obviously you and your teams, you do more than put out fires, a lot more. And I'm wondering too, you know, in the summertime and the fact that, you know, the reality of our community is we have a lot of people who are unhoused, heat in and of itself is quite a challenge. And I imagine, you know, having to respond to people who are going through heat exhaustion, heat stroke is also a big part of your summer, you know, kind of task list, isn't it?
So I'll actually expand on the piece about us doing more than responding, and I'll leave the response piece to Chief Kamen to talk about. In terms of doing more than responding on the prevention side, a lot of my days right now are actually out in the field with property owners walking around their homes, doing defensible space assessments. So talking with them about things they can do to make their home more resilient to wildfire. And Chief, I'll let you talk about the response piece there.
Yeah. Our fire department, the majority of the work that are calls for service are emergency medical related. And it continues to be a challenge as a community loses access to care. And 911 is the only true universal healthcare system, whether it's warranted for a fire engine and an ambulance to show up. People are out of options. They don't have access to care. They don't have appropriate facilities within the city to seek care. And so we're doing a lot of work to try to find alternative solutions that aren't tying up fire engines to do that.
Sure.
But yeah, we're incredibly busy.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. You know, as we finish up, and I'll go back to you, Fire Marshal Sullivan. You know, one of the things that is both fascinating and terrifying about an urban environment is a large structure fire. And I just wanted to kind of close out because we've been talking a lot about wildfires, but obviously, you know, in Eugene and in Springfield, just the challenges that an urban environment, especially a large structure, maybe it's a warehouse, you know, something like that. Give us kind of that sort of paint that picture for us, because I think it's something important for people to understand what that can mean.
Sure. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about evacuation.
Okay.
Since we have some narrow roads in our southern hills, some dead end areas.
Okay.
One of the potential challenges that I see if we did have a large scale fire in one of those areas is getting people out safely while we are trying to get in to do our job to put out that fire.
Yeah. And to the broader kind of commercial structure fire type response question. When we first came together, Eugene and Springfield, we had three significant fires in those first few years. That was the Swanson Mill Fire, Civic Stadium, and Southtown Lanes. All of them occurred in the summertime, all of them in hot, dry conditions.
Yeah.
All require a large response just to deal with the structure fire, and then an even much larger response to deal with the threat from fires to other nearby homes, things like that. And the challenge is for a complex fire like that, the what's called the effective response force for that size of fire pretty much takes every, if it happened in the city of Eugene, every on-duty firefighter to deal with a high-rise fire to meet industry standards for staffing. And so we're stretched really thin all of a sudden and still dealing with 140 other emergency medical calls throughout the day. I mean, it's a challenge.
We've been talking to Fire Chief Mike Caven and Deputy Fire Marshal Althea Sullivan with the Eugene Springfield Fire Department. Again, really appreciate the great counsel and advice that you provide our listeners.
Thanks for having us.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. On Monday, Senator Ron Wyden makes his somewhat regular visit to the show. You'll hear him talk about a host of national and local topics, including the presidential election, the mood in national politics, and efforts to improve the state of the unhoused here at home. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.